from stpetecatalyst.com.
Hey, I'm Bill DeYoung. This is the Catalyst Sessions for Tuesday. It's Tuesday, and my guest today, please join me in welcoming Trish Duggan from the Imagine Museum. Hey there, Trish, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing really well, thank you.
You look nice on this Tuesday. It's great to see you, and I have the Imagine in my backdrop here, I hope you noticed. The museum is 2 years old now.
Yes.
Here we are in the middle of confusing COVID, where the world is upside down in lots of ways. What have you learned in 2 years? I mean, boy, I wish I'd never done this, or wow, what a raging success it is.
Well, I'm so happy that I put the museum together and that I highlighted the 60 top American glass artists. As you know, one of my main goals was to sort of be like Guggenheim, Peggy Guggenheim, who started the Guggenheim Museum for a purpose to highlight the modern artists, and they did become famous. I'm doing the same thing with the American artists who did start this glass movement in the U.S. But and I'm happy about it.
The museum has done well, and I know it's gotten an international reputation in 2 years. Can we talk about how, you know, the pandemic has slowed you down? I mean, obviously, attendance and people is down, and people's attention maybe has been elsewhere. But, you know, how's business, I guess, is the question.
Well, business definitely got hurt. We were the last museum to close and the first museum to open, because my whole purpose is to uplift and inspire people. And we had a man come by who'd been locked in his room the entire time, an older gentleman. And he came through the museum and he burst out crying and he donated $500 to the museum. He said it was so refreshing to see things so beautiful after doing nothing but watching the news day after day after day. So he was just ecstatic to be able to come to such a peaceful place. And honestly, my goal is to open a portal to serenity and beauty for the whole community. It's like a refuge. So I can say that our attendance has been way cut because we did have to close down and many museums stayed closed. Mm-hmm. We opened anyway because it is a refuge for people.
I think so. We were in there, I think it was January or February. There was some kind of media event to look at the augmented reality. And it was one of the last things that we did, my wife and I, before, you know, everything had to shut down. And I mean, every time I'm in there, I get that feeling like, it, you know, first of all, I want to talk, there's so many things I want to talk with you about vis-a-vis glass art, but you described it so beautifully once when we talked about, depending on where the light's coming from, it's different all the time. It seems to be living. So I'd like to ask you specifically about, we have so many things to talk about with your history with art, but why did glass reach out and grab you and say, I'm the medium for you, kid? Why did that happen?
Well, for that exact reason. I saw some glass and it was a piece of art, and it looked alive. It was in the light, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is such an unusual material. When the light hits it, whatever different angle, or if it's backlit, it's just a fascinating material. And as you know about the history of glass, it was first found a long time ago in King Tutankhamun's tomb on an armband, and they traced that glass to a huge field of glass in Libya. It was in the middle of the desert. They don't know what happened to create such a huge field of glass.
A field of glass. Are we talking about shards and pieces? I don't understand. A field of glass.
No, it was a huge, flat field of glass. It was over the sand. So something
was there. Okay.
That we don't know. But yeah. Finding that piece of glass in Tutankhamun's tomb on the armband was a very, very amazing discovery, because that's the first time it was actually used in something. And after that, of course, glass became famous for glassware and plates and cups, and now it's transformed into art.
It was the early 60s, right? The art glass movement kind of was launched. Am I correct in remembering that late 50s, early 1960s, when artists said, wait, we can do more than make cups and plates with this, or vases? Is that right? Did I get that right?
Well, it was some wild young Americans that went over to Italy and they watched the process, and I don't know what they were doing, but maybe smoking something, and started getting very wild with what they were producing. We have some of those early pieces, and they're really fascinating. I mean, just the minds of these people, what they did with glass was way outside of the box. I'd say there was no box. They were thinking totally differently.
Denied the box. Yeah, that's cool. Can we talk about, I want to talk about your immersion into glass art and your work. We have some things to look at. But can we talk about the process that led you to open this museum? You've been in the area since, what, late 70s maybe? And what did you, when did you have your glass epiphany? Let's put it that way.
Well, I started collecting glass. Marlena Rose did some beautiful things. I saw one of her sushi trays in her home.
Yeah.
And I just flipped out. I said, who did this and where did you get this? And since then, I bought three of those from her.
Marlena's great. Her work is fabulous. I've seen it.
Yeah. She's really amazing. I was her largest collector for a while. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody surpassed me now, but we're going to be having a show of hers. But seeing that glass and then becoming her largest collector. And then she asked me, would you like to come in and see how it's done? So I came in. Ooh, I was totally hooked. I was mesmerized. Just the glass at 2,100 degrees poured into a sand mold.
She does sand casting, which is different from blowing glass.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, so you're hook, line, and sinker, as they say. How did you make that next step to, I want to show this to the world? How did that
happen? It's a funny story, but as you know, I have six adopted children. I've raised eight children. And one day, one of my kids came and goes, Mom, he said, Mom, there's too much glass in the house. This is like a museum. And I go, oh, what a good idea.
Wow.
I didn't even have a glass museum. The most amazing thing happened. I told the person whose studio I work in, it's Sigma Studio. That's Chuck Books here in St. Pete. Within 3 weeks, he said, Trish, there's a building that's for sale. It's an old school. It was a charter school. They flunked. They just want to get rid of the building and the property. And he helped me negotiate it, and I bought it. And it was really within 3 weeks, the whole idea was there and came to fruition in no time. I just gutted the building, painted half the rooms white, half black, filled it up with this spectacular collection. That I was able to put together with the help of Corey Hampson of Happy
Yeah, Scout. That's right. Well, that's amazing to me. I mean, to be honest, you probably have a little bit more money than a lot of the rest of us, so you could just say, "Yeah, I'm going to go buy this city block and do this." How did you know it would work, though? You know that the city, the community would support it. I mean, there had to have been some sort of good faith on your part to sort of say, "Yeah, I really believe enough in this that they're going to support us."
You know, the fact is that when I saw all these different artists that Corey Hampson introduced me to, and I decided I'm going to help all these artists become famous, then somehow the mayor got behind it. I had so much support in this city. This city is such a culturally oriented city. I mean, I think we've got, what, eight museums or something now?
They
really are pushing art. It's a really phenomenal city. I mean, I don't live in St. Pete, but I love St. Pete. I absolutely love St. Pete.
So you felt supported right out of the gate.
Yes, absolutely.
I have a whole bunch of notes about how did you find the property. And you said, 3 weeks, I found it. There goes all my notes. As I remember correctly, you're from Virginia. You grew up in Guam?
Yes.
Is that right? And I remember you talking about your love of Japanese art because you went to a Jesuit university in Japan? Is that where your love of art was kindled when you were over there?
Well, actually, when I was living in Guam, we had a person who our family adopted, and he was from Palau, and he spoke Japanese and he read Japanese. So my first fairy tales were Japanese fairy tales, and the books were so beautifully done. I'd never seen books that were so gorgeous. So my dad had also been to Japan and brought woodblock prints back with him, and I thought, these are the most fascinatingly beautiful prints. And then in high school, I had a Japanese teacher for art, and he taught me about Japanese paper. He taught me how to do woodblock prints. He's in his 90s now. I still see him when I go out to California at Thanksgiving time. We write each other letters. I just adore the man because he helped change my life. So it wasn't just living in Guam and having my dad visit Japan and bring kimonos back and the geta shoes that are, you know, hold you above the rain and all sorts of interesting Japanese things. But then when I got to high school and took art, I had this wonderful, just outstanding teacher. And even in the museum, I have a plaque in honor of him because he did change my life forever.
Yeah.
And then I decided I'm going to go over to Japan and study woodblock print in Japan. So I went to Nanzan University, and that changed my life as well. It just gave me a huge boost, and I got to do woodblock print over there and learn about so many other different artists, and I started collecting Japanese woodblock prints, and I have a huge collection that I will donate to the museum.
Mm-hmm. You make me think of something. I have a photo that I wanted to take a quick look at. If I can find it. Give me a second here. I'm going to share this one because this is a piece of yours that's in the. In fact, I think it's behind where you're sitting. This is the thousand heads of Buddha here.
Yes.
There are literally 1,000 of these things. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct.
It's very humbling, Trish, to be in the room with this thing. I remember being there in January and just, where did this idea come from and why? These are sand casted.
Well, I heard in Japan, this is a rumor, that if you make 1,000 Buddhas, that your chance of going to nirvana or heaven is way enhanced. And I'd seen some different places, especially in Kyoto, where they do have 1,000 Buddhas, and I thought, I'm going to make 1,000 glass Buddhas. And one of my favorite quotes in Buddhism is, though you can conquer 1,000 men in battle 1,000 times, the one who conquers himself, his hatred, his prejudice, his reactivity, is the noblest victor of all. And that's one of the things I think mankind is working toward, and why I'm so involved in the human rights movement all over the world, and I'm on the board of the Peace Museum in Costa Rica with Oscar Arias Sanchez, the Nobel Peace Prize winner. And it's just that focus on treating each other as though we are brothers. It doesn't matter our skin color. It doesn't matter where we're from. We all have different families, different moms, different dads, different cultures, different communities, different schools, different churches, even different languages when you look at this planet. And we are brothers. We need to look at it like that. We need to treat each other like that. I mean, that's the first of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. That's the first human right. And that was put together by Eleanor Roosevelt at the UN after World War II.
Was this your work with human rights organizations? Was this something that it came like an epiphany later in life, or have you always been kind of a fighter inside?
It's interesting to say fighter, because these days it looks like we have to fight for this. But it was, since I was raised in Guam, I just didn't think about skin color. Like, I didn't think, oh, my skin color is white, so somebody should be prejudiced against me. Or his skin color. When I was a child, that never crossed my mind. I just thought, we're all kids. I never thought of we're different because of something. But we're different because of many, many things. And I'm so grateful to live in America because we have all these differences of opinions. Like, I grew up in California after Guam.
Yeah.
And we have Chinatown. We have Little Tokyo. We have Little Vietnam. We have all these different communities of people that have come from all these different countries in search of the American dream. And I feel so fortunate and grateful every day when I wake up that I'm an American and that I can listen to other viewpoints. And, you know, every election, we have about 50% vote one way, 50% vote the other way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we all get along just fine. So it's an interesting...
Well, some might argue with that last statement a little bit. But, you know, in a perfect world, yeah, we'd all get along just fine. But, yeah.
But we should get along.
We should. Okay, agreed.
We should respect the viewpoints of others, even though it's radically different than our own viewpoint.
Oh, 100% agree. Yeah.
We should be able to listen to the other person's viewpoint.
I found another picture, and I think it's going to work this time. And I shot this the first time we met. And are these woodblock prints of yours on the wall here? This is your work. Can you explain what we're looking at here? Because everything you do is, except for the Buddha hat, seems to be blue, which is another thing I wanted to ask you about. But I think this is beautiful stuff. Tell us what we're looking at here.
Well, the main prints are phoenixes here. And of course, I have a fascination with the ability for man to change. No matter what kind of errors he makes, what kind of difficult situation, I don't care, even if a person has been in prison, they can be reformed. I think everyone has the ability to change if they want to change. And that's all it takes. It takes a willingness and a desire to change. And no matter what kind of situation you grow up in, my mom got pregnant when she was 16. My dad joined the military a year early when he was 17. So I came from a challenging background. You know, our first home was a Quonset hut, one of those tin things. I had a branch for my Christmas tree.
Wow.
But I was thankful to have a Christmas tree. I didn't think, oh, everybody else gets a big Christmas tree and I've got a branch. That never crossed my mind.
Everybody else gets a branch. That's what you thought.
Yeah. Yeah. We're so lucky to have a branch.
We got ours, yeah.
Yeah. So, the phoenix is a theme that I really enjoy.
And this is I don't want to say it's a glass plate. It's glass, this... Let me just say crudely, this round thing on the table, describe this to me, because it has this three-dimensional thing. That's what I love about glasses. It's different. Every time you look at it, not even through the different lights and everything, but every piece is different, has its own kind of internal structure. And I know there's quite a few of this sort of pieces of yours out there. Can you explain what that is?
This is a blown glass rondelle. So this glass is also heated to 2,100 degrees, but it's blown on the end of a pipe and cooled, and cold works so it's as flat as you can get it, and then it's etched. And I have a whole series of about 20 different flowers that I've etched, and then currently at the museum, I have 60 cyborg women that are etched glass.
Oh, those are great. I saw those. I wish I had a photo of that. The cyborg women are great with the stuff on their, the board kind of thing. Oh, yeah. And those are...
I have a quote. I actually have one with Elon Musk as well. And I have some quotes by Elon Musk. If you come to the museum, you can read all the different quotes that I have up. But, of course, he said we're already cyborgs because we have our cell phones with so much information at our fingertips. We can ask Siri anything, and it can come up within seconds. It's just we're living in such a fabulous technologically advanced age, and I think things are going to boom exponentially coming up. And just his idea of the neuronet, to me, is completely fascinating. And, you know, they even have... contact lenses that you can put on where information can be directly sent from a device on your wrist onto the contact lens. And there are a lot of our high-tech companies that are working on this project, and it's fascinating. It's coming. I'm telling you, that's why I did
this is work by Bertil Vallien. Is it Vallien? Is that how you say it?
Vallien. Vallien. So. We did this project together.
Uh-huh.
And as a collaboration, it's called The Watchers.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out of something that is left out of our Bible. It's called the Book of Enoch, and it's in a couple different Bibles. I think the Ethiopian Bible included it. Mm-hmm. But it was a story about 200 different men who were sent down to watch Earth and make sure everybody was good. And they brought a lot of skills down to Earth, including metallurgy and astronomy, different things. So we just did this as an homage to that idea. Uh-huh. Not to say that it's a fact. It was just found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and it was written. So we just did this to make people think kind of outside of the box, that there could be a different history.
This is new, isn't it? Is this in the
museum? Year, we put it in this year, yes. And we've just put a whole series of beautiful heads by Bertil. He's famous for those heads. And
I think the last time we talked, you were where does he live? You were going to work with him the last time we talked.
He lives in Costa Boda, Sweden, which I highly recommend.
Yeah, okay.
Anybody has a chance to go there, absolutely go there, because they have a glass bar that's all blue glass, and I've never seen anything like it any place on the planet. It's fascinating. And the glass studio there, fabulous. And I just admire the heck out of him. He's one of my most admired artists. He's an incredibly forward-thinking.
And there's a detail on one of the watches.
Talented artist.
Yeah.
I think he is the most famous glass casting artist in the world.
So this is not a single piece. There are things added to it.
Yes, inclusions.
Sorry?
Those are called inclusions.
Oh, there we go. Learning something every day.
It's glass that's been painted, and after you pour the glass into the shape, you have tongs, uh-huh. And you put those tongs into a heated box where this heated glass is, and then you drop it into the big, huge piece of cast glass.
There's that. Okay, I got my little photo screen. And these are yours, is this correct? I got these from Jane today.
These
yes. are yours as well?
Yep, I'm trying to get people to be very extroverted. Because, you know, you sit in your home, or you sit in front of your phone, or you sit in front of the TV, and this is looking at stars and galaxies and really looking out. And I think that was one of the things that John F. Kennedy really helped America do, was land a man on the moon, and we all got so extroverted. You know, really, it was a wonderful leadership, a wonderful period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I think of all the presidents, has supported the arts. And if you go to the Kennedy Center for Performing Arts, you can see some of the most fabulous quotes by John F. Kennedy there. He was a big supporter of the arts and a big supporter of extroverting mankind.
It's funny because you talk about the space program. This is a screenshot, I think, from the augmented reality stuff that we saw in January when we were there. I have to say that I didn't really understand it, but I thought it was kind of cool, which maybe is the point. Rockets and, you know, people flying around, maybe an alien or two. And why does this sort of thing interest you, having, you know, the augmented reality experience in the museum? You've got quite a few things like this.
I do. I work with HG Interactive, and Sean there was fabulously helpful in putting together my ideas, because I want to meld science with art. We have a very, very scientific viewpoint for most people these days, but I also want to add to that man's creativity, because we've dropped art out of most schools, public schools. They don't have art anymore. So we need that to be able to create a different type of thought, like Elon Musk has. You know, he's a visionary, and we need to create more kids that are visionaries and can really think, and I mean think and strategize, and they can really look. Like, you hold up an apple, and there's every person in the room will have a different opinion of the apple. Well, they have to draw the apple in a class, for example, but somebody will think, oh, I'm hungry, I want to eat that apple, or oh my gosh, I hate green apples, why didn't you use a red apple? Or, oh, why do I have to draw this apple? Or, oh, how great, I get to draw this. Every single person, we all come from different cultures, different homes, different backgrounds, different religions, different countries, and we all have different thoughts. So if you combine art with science, it makes people take a look and think. And the inclusions that we have in there, there's one astronaut, and so I have an actual astronaut that comes out of that rocket ship,
mm-hmm.
and floats on a tether in this turquoise medium that makes you really look. And then all the exhaust comes out of the bottom of the rocket, and the rocket, if you hold your pad up, the rocket appears to go out the ceiling of the moon.
Yes, I remember watching this, and my jaw hit the ground. And it's like, not what I expected, you know. Fantastic. As we go into our last couple of minutes here, first of all, I did want to mention that you have Marlena Rose exhibition is coming up.
Yes, we do. It's going to be spectacular.
And she is she's from Clearwater as well, and she's Marlena's fat. It's Marlena, right? I haven't spoken to her a long time. I want to be sure I pronounce her name right. Shout out to her. In opens to the public on October 27th. What's the situation like with, you know, masks and people coming in now? How limited is it? You let five people in at a time and then close the doors. How does it work these days?
Well, we haven't had to close the doors, but we do have the spacing and we do wear masks, and it's we make a very safe environment. So everyone's welcome. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's probably a good idea to give a call to the museum, especially if you want to bring kids. We've had tours for kids, three different reservations for this month. And so we don't have them all at the same time.
Right. And I think I asked Jane this once and she just sort of snickered at me. Anything ever got broken? I mean, you get kids in there, some of the glass, you know, they're going to knock it down. You ever lose anything in there? Stupid.
We've had one piece.
Okay, well, that's pretty good. I'll think, how many pieces you have in there? I mean, this is your collection plus traveling exhibitions.
Well, so. I have actually collected thousands of pieces, and I myself have done about 5,000 pieces. So I've collected from all over the world. I have some of the most famous artists from the Czech Republic, from all over Europe, from Japan. So it's definitely a world-class collection. And by the way, I've never minded if anything got broken, because my kids, I've had two pieces broken at home, and they looked at me like, and I said, don't worry, you're 1,000 times more important than that material object. I've never had any kind of upset at all with anything that's broken.
Two more quick things. I mean, you mentioned that you have a ton of stuff, as it were. Yeah, I think the last time, it might have been the last time we talked, or I might have read it somewhere, that you were thinking about opening an extension here in St. Petersburg, another building. Is that still on? Yeah, it was me you told this to. Now, is that happening? Is that down the line somewhere?
Down the line, I'm taking a good look at that. I will absolutely open an international museum, because this is dedicated. The first floor is all American art, and now I've got the second floor I have mixed international and Americans, and I definitely have at least six containers, 40-foot shipping containers full of glass coming from Europe, and I would like to show it in the museum.
Like to have somewhere else to put it.
It's beyond phenomenal. When you see the art at the museum, every artist does different kinds of pieces. It's just fascinating.
Oh, I know. I never get tired of it. You're the best salesperson for this thing, I have to tell you. You know, just it's bad. You look right in the camera and say, it's fabulous. Have to ask, you were talking about maybe getting the building in Clearwater, the City Hall building. Is that in the cards? Is that happening?
You know, I have no idea about that. I've been offered four different locations, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And I won't say where, but a couple of them are waterfront. The Clearwater one is right in front of the bridge. And, you know, I had been discussing that just as an idea because, of course, Clearwater has no museums. They have the most beautiful beaches in the world. It would be nice if they had some culture, too, just to attract an audience. And people want to do something else rather than just go to the beach every day. So why not have something spectacular? But I have this beautiful property here right on 5th and Central. Yeah. That I can do something, and I'm actually looking at different architects right now. So I may have an architectural competition because I'd like to do something that's really stunning.
To be, there it is again, to be continued. I think we've pretty much done it, Trish. I can't thank you enough for joining me today. And
thank you so much. You do a fabulous job. I really admire what you do for the community.
Well, thank you. I admire what you do for the community too. So here we go. And you know, if we are going to be the glass coast that everyone keeps saying, I think that you're a major player in that game, race, whatever the metaphor went. But I mean, thank you for what you do for bringing people here and showing them glass art, because you're a very important part of that. Trish Duggan, I can't thank you enough, and I do hope I see you again soon.
Great. You have a happy day.
Same to you. See ya.
Bye. Okay, bye.
From stpcatalyst.com.